You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to FX...
Actually, it's welcome to FX PhD's DOD. I'm Mike Seymour, joined as always by John Montgomery.
So glad you're here this week. It wasn't a DOD without you. I mean, it was great having Tim on, right? It was great having Tim on. Missed you last week, my friend.
Yeah, it sound weird hearing me as a cross, but hey, it was fun. And you know what? I mean, I think you guys did a good job.
Well, thanks, man. Hey, so tell us about that. Sounds like an amazing... I mean, just amazing opportunity to check out.
You know, we really wanted to get – there's a bunch of things, some of which I can talk about, some of which I can't. But trust me, anything that I can't talk about, I will talk about within the next 3 weeks. But we wanted to shoot a bunch of stuff, and we wanted to shoot some dramatic stuff. And so we contacted our friends at Impaja Television, which is an Aboriginal-owned TV station in Central Australia. And we were like, you know, you guys wanted to come out and do some stuff. We were keen to do some stuff. As it turns out, I've got some free time because I was going to do this trip, but I'm not. You know, do you want to do something maybe in February or March? And they're like, that's a great idea. How about next week? I was like, what? Okay, that sounds good. And so then I was in this mad panic to get my classes done and get out of here, and that was pretty crazy. And I know a couple of people in the forum were a bit cranky with me because I was late on a class, but I was just so strapped trying to get shoots organized. And, you know, shoots, like there's a lot of stuff that goes into shoots. Like I'm talking permits, you know, arranging crews, arranging gear, and everything else.
And so, like, let's just do a shoot.
Everything up there. Yeah, and it wasn't just one shoot, right? It was multiple shoots. And, like, helicopters, the whole thing, right? So, now we went up there and we shot and we just had a ball. And I have to say, it's good for the soul. Now, I know that you love getting out to Durango and to the mountains, but this is obviously the opposite of that.
amazingly beautiful in its own way.
It's totally like
the desert.
Look, if anyone's in the Red 202 class, they're going to see footage because obviously we shot there. And we shot last week's class there, but we just couldn't get it out of the Alice because we just didn't have enough internet bandwidth. So
all the bandwidth was being taken up by that damn webcam in the bar. That was the problem.
Oh, yeah, I was in the bar, and we actually sat under the webcam going, okay, buy us beers, and you guys weren't there. I even phoned you twice
Your phone.
Oh, come on, it'll be funny.
I didn't mean to interrupt, sorry, I was just...
Please buy me a beer. So anyway, yeah, and that was really, really good. And, you know, there was this one particular... Well, there's a lot of things that were really good, and I'm mentioning about them because they were good. There was one, we went up in an helicopter that was awesome to shoot some material we want to do, but we did stress testing on the Red camera. So we could do the stress testing on the Red camera because we are returning our Red camera next week to get a new one, right? So ordinarily you wouldn't do this. It's like a moron.
Here you go.
Okay, let's shake it and let's put it in extreme heat and let's put it in dust and see if it stops working. Oh, well, yeah, here you are. Here it's back now. Anyway, so we thought, I thought it was seriously a good opportunity because if you've got a look at the camera, you might be interested to know what its limits are. And like, who the hell is normally going to have an opportunity to test the camera to its limits? Like, you're always way safely inside the limits, right? And people have been saying to me, I don't shoot in heavy vibration with the disk drive. And I'm like, why not? And they were like, well, it probably won't work. And I said, well, what does not work mean? Oh. And no one can answer the question. So we took it up and shook the shit out of it. And what was really funny is the Red guys were like, Mike, don't do this.
That was the best part is I saw this email thread and, you know, because continually giving feedback, right, to help them out. That's a large part of what Mike's doing down there. In addition to all the stuff he's doing and shooting for commercials and PhD. But the guy, he sends this thing. It's like, yeah, we had dropouts. We were shooting the helicopter and they were like, hello, McFly. We don't recommend.
The other thing that was really funny, right, is I had two professors sending me emails of shots that they wanted for classes, right? And I'm like, I'm kind of on a time limit here, right? Like, and they're like, well, the thing. And I'm like, yep. Well, I'll try and get that. But, you know, they'll be like, really? Why don't I shoot it on a DV camera and you can reproduce this shot? And I'm like,
God, I just died when I saw the thing about the dropouts.
Oh, no, that was pretty cool. Anyway, so we shot that. That was pretty cool. So the other thing we did was we shot this I'm going to really fess up now. We shot this this billabong, right, which is like an oasis. I'm not making this up. It's like red dirt for – we were like 100 kilometers, an hour or two's drive out of Alice Springs on four-wheel drive roads, right?
Okay.
And then there's this ridge, and the section of the ridge has just collapsed down into the earth, right, like seriously plummeted. And it's formed a pool, like of water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And So around it is obviously some vegetation, but other than that, around that is nothing. So it's like 35 degrees, 40 degrees, like 100 Fahrenheit. And they're going, I don't know if you want to shoot here. We think it's a pretty good spot. And we said, well, let's leave the stuff in the car. And I walked down and have a look. And so I walked down towards a few trees and turned the corner. And I didn't even get any further. I'm like, that's it. We're getting the cameras out. And the camera, are you kidding me? We're going to stay here all afternoon. And so we had this gorgeous shot down in the heat because we're testing how the camera would go in the heat. But the brilliant part about it, right, and this is slightly weird to confess, but when the shooting was over and we'd packed up, there was only like a few of us left down near the water, and we just stripped off and went swimming because it was so friggin' hot.
Right.
But what was extraordinary is 3 feet below the water is icy cold, right?
Right.
And people jump in the water, apparently, and have heart attacks because they plummet down into icy cold water extreme heat and just die. And it's like, they're like, oh, yeah, don't be doing that.
Well, yeah, you talk about the people in the winter here, the Polar Bear Club, when it's the middle of the winter jumping in the water, and it's like, well, the water is actually warmer than the air.
Well, yeah, this was not the case here. Anyway, so we did that, and we shot sunsets, and we shot in this amazing red desert. We shot low-light stuff. We shot blue screen elements for stuff for next term. The blue screen elements were just amazing. I posted some of those already in a discussion we're having over sharpness on the red forums. But as I said, this isn't all just for the Reds course, of course, because we've got
we'll be using that footage in other courses,
other classes,
terms and so forth. Yeah, well, really looked fascinating. Really looked like an interesting thing, and I found it really interesting that it was 100 degrees difference between where you were and I was, and not 100 degrees Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, sorry about that, dude.
I was like, okay.
Been a bit cold, has it?
Yes. But no, it's really good. And I actually think that that kind of environment and just nature shots in general also help, really. It's something that we haven't seen with our RED camera in ascertaining the images.
Scorpion, right?
Yeah.
We got this low-light footage of a scorpion, and I'm filming it, and we had a piece of glass between us and the scorpion, right? But we're really close in low light, because scorpions apparently are pretty nocturnal. And the ranger we were with, it's like, I'm like, Jimmy actually said, does it move? And the guy's like going, no, the scorpions don't really move very much. They just lay dormant for ages until prey. And at this moment, the scorpion decided, you know what, I'm going to go for a stroll. And it just starts moving around. And like the guy's going, this is an all-time record. We've never actually had this guy move this much at all, unless, you know, there's something to sort of attack. Yeah, he just decides to stroll around, and we're just filming for the longest time. This guy, the ranger's like, can I see you? Pushing it out of the way, and like, get up and look at the close-up shot. Oh, wow.
Hey, what's that thing on the – what's that thing on the – that animal on the in the Dean's blog? What is it?
It's like a small marsupial, like related to a wallaby. And man, that sucker can move fast when it wants to. And it's that, and there were these, I'm not making this up, jumping mice. So they're mice that sit on their back legs, and they're like a mouse crossed with a kangaroo, mouse size, right? And so we had like 1 inch depth of field, okay? Because we're so low light that this was only, when we didn't have any other external lights on, we couldn't even see to focus. It was just a black thing, right? But we had a pen light torch, and with one single LED pen light torch, we lit up what was in front of us. And so we'd light it up, have to focus immediately. And then, of course, you know, if you're an animal nocturnally, you get stunned for a second when this tiny little light comes on. But then you just think, well, you know, it's not that bright, and then just run off, right? Trying to follow these little creatures, like this jumping mouse, with 1 inch depth of field at night in the dark. We had somebody on camera pulling focus. Obviously, I was operating, and somebody else on the light. It was like Laurel and Hardy. It was pretty funny. But we got some good footage.
Yeah, it's a cool little photo there, though, on the homepage, or on the blogs page. Looks like it's got like giant feet.
Hey, speaking globally, ask me what was going on in Europe this week.
I'm curious. You know, I've been thinking over the last weekend, what was going on in Europe this week?
Well, funny you should ask, John. Clermont-Ferrand,
yep.
Short Film Festival was on, and that finished on the 9th of February. But the good news is, for PhD, is that I Love Sarah Jane actually got the Canal Plus Award. Now, I don't know what the Canal Plus Award is, but I know that it's not the Grand Prix prize, But I'm very glad that we won it. I only just found that out like this morning, so I'm still researching what it is we actually won.
Canal Plus Award for number of times.
For something.
Fuck it.
What? For something good.
Yes,
you think.
Canal Plus is the, as I remember from, is kind of the more of the
Canal
interesting. Plus? Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of French. I mean, that's butchered, but.
No, I can't speak French at all.
As I remember, it's kind of like the hip canal. You know, it's like, you know, not canals like, you know, ABC or something like that. And then this is like, whatever, same like the BBC. There isn't there like a cool, hipper BBC than the normal BBC or something like that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that the Canal Plus is like that, or maybe not. I could be totally wrong. I'm sure someone will be able to let us know.
And you know what it is. Can you tell us, please? Right. It was a big step forward once I got the website to be in English, not in French. I love France. Don't get me wrong. Right? I just had no idea what I was looking at.
Yeah. That's, you know what it is? It's because, yeah, it's a premium channel in France and overall to the canal. Maybe that's why, because I just remember seeing cool movies on it when I've been traveling through Europe. Maybe that's why I think it's cool, but it's like, yeah.
I'm there, man. And
anyway,
really
that's amazing. That's fantastic.
I'm not sure what it is that we won. But yeah, that's good.
That's fantastic.
So, that and
the mention at Sundance too, right?
Spider got a special mention, which is good.
Yeah.
So all good.
Yes.
And congrats to the postgrads that worked on those. And also congrats to some of the stuff that's been going on around the forums. We've been pretty busy this time.
The forums have been on fire. Very amazing. It's a bit really good stuff in the forums, I think. Just really great discussions. The sysadmin class, I think there have been some fantastic discussions. That's a surprising one to me. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised, but again, based upon the questionnaire, you know, the question we posed maybe months ago about it, but that's been a really active forum, hasn't it?
Yeah, because we were thinking, because it's actually Dave, one of the guys here, one of the central figures in PhD, who said, oh, we should do a sysadmin course. And I was like, well, I think it's good. I think it's really a specialized area. We need to wait till we get, like, you know, large enough that we would have enough people that would be interested in doing it to make it sort of justified. And it's actually, it's really got high enrollment.
Yeah, don't you think that's interesting, though? I think that's that stuff we've talked about in the past when I left Avenue Edit, and then, you know, I was doing those shows on the road, ESPN and New Year's Eve with my Mac and traveling. This idea of that great article on Until the Hun, talking about someone doing this on their own. It just, the technology is enabling people to start these smaller companies or work in smaller groups, I think, than has been in the past. So there are more and more people who need to know this stuff, right? It's not just a big facility where this becomes important. You're able to do so much more in a small facility that, you know, any kind of effects artist or designer stuff is going to need to know some of this stuff, I think.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely right. I think that anyway, very, very interesting as well. My phone.
And a shout out to Mark, who's joined us in the Chicago office. So congratulations to
first day for Mark, who's helping us.
Commiserations, whichever it is.
Maybe if you get these emails from this guy Mark, helping you
he's
out,
one of
if
us.
He's helping out with the support stuff now, and he's going to be setting that up, going to be helping with the wiki, getting stuff organized, hopefully helping you guys out a ton, answering questions, and just making sure some of the stuff under the hood goes a bit smoother. And maybe allowing me some time to do some fun stuff as well, which I'm looking forward to, from my standpoint. So he's a good guy. I worked with him for years. It's cool because he's been in the industry, started as an assistant at Avenue Edit. He went and worked out on Shake, QA, worked out at Digital Domain for a while. Oh, he did that.
Actually working inside Apple is pretty cool, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know he can't talk about it publicly, but having an insider Apple guy is fun.
Yeah, when you can get options when you're working at Apple, how cool is that? I mean, you know, he was there a couple years ago. How cool is that now? I mean, maybe not now in the last week. Maybe the last 2 weeks, right? But still, that's...
No, totally. I mean, forget that. He's just a good guy.
Yeah, and he's been doing a lot of web stuff, so he's going to be good at, I think, to help us out. Very, very excited about that. What else is going on? Hey, what did you said you've got some cool stuff in the Red course this week as well, right? The Red class? Something with Final Cut and dealing with...
I'm
interested because my FIME class, I don't know if you've seen that, but I was kind of dealing with getting DPX sequences from Red into Flame using Final Cut Pro XML this week and giving it, handing out the Red LUT that we created. The one that goes from Red Log.
We've got Yeah, we've got a neat trick that's sort of upstream of that, I guess, because we've got a neat trick for doing effectively R3D editing using all of the power of the R3D stuff, but inside Final Cut, which theoretically is only using the QuickTime. So
that's interesting, because that might clue in. I just did a really quick thing at the end of my course. You haven't seen, I'm sure you haven't seen it because it just went up yesterday, but of using Tether to get those files over. Because I do know a lot of people who are like using Final Cut and are using those proxy, as bad as that may sound to us. You know, and knowing the quality that you get out of those QuickTime movies, the fact is a ton of people are actually using those for Final, it seems like.
But, yes, but what you want to do is have the ability to still change the ASA into a low.
Yeah, no.
But be in Final Cut.
No, yeah, so that's good. So I was changed. Just thinking that would be a nice tie-in to the Flame class this week. So
yeah, totally. I think you do a great job with the Flame 300 class.
It's been fun. And so anyway, so yeah, cool tricks though using that, using the Final Cut Pro XML and then also using Tether to get those into the Flame. It's kind of a cool little workflow, though I did have some fun getting the class out this week.
We've had a huge amount of interest in Avid Final Cut work, offline editing Red workflow in this country. There's been a lot of people being.
We do too here, actually, as well. I mean, it's still. I mean, I know Final Cut has taken on, and you know, it kind of bothered me months ago when Avid dropped out of NAB, and everyone said they're going under. I mean, I don't think they're doing as well as they were. two years ago, I don't think, right? I mean, just
Avid's led the charge, right?
But right,
Apple's out now.
Yeah, but there are a ton of people here still using Avid, still doing stuff, and yeah, that's an interesting aspect of the workflow as well, using Avid, because I think in commercial editing, still in the States, like the big places, the Red Carves of the world, the Avenues, Optimus, Cutters, places here in town are still really heavily invested in Avid, because Final Cut still to this day hasn't gotten their shared storage thing out yet. So a lot of people use, God, I'm drawing a blank, Mike. What's the shared media composer storage? Unity?
Unity?
Yeah. Unity, yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people are using that to bigger facilities and so forth. So Final Cut's still in there at the high end. So that'll be cool. Look forward to that. I know my buddies at various post houses will be looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the whole thing with NAB is kind of in of itself an interesting question mark.
What do you think of that? You were a little bit offline last week during that, I think, or you just got back. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I guess my attitude is I was talking to somebody who used to work at the big Comdex computer show, and they said, well, there's no point going to an annual trade show because the product life cycle of a laptop's like 90 days. So, you know, why go to an annual trade show? And I remember thinking, how long would it be before that started to bite in our area? And the bottom line is I think that, people are just putting their money into the web and they don't believe that they get the kind of coverage and bang for their buck at a trade show that they used to get, because everybody just goes online to check stuff out. And yes, it's good to be able to look at stuff that you need to feel, like, for example, a car show, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can look at cars, but at some point you actually want to go sit in the bugger and see if it, you know, feels any good. And then even more than that, take it for a test drive. But for software apps, it's like, well, do I really need to go to a trade show? You know, it's kind of expensive. And as a consequence, the equipment manufacturers are sort of, you know, and so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
And it's incredibly expensive. I mean, outrageously expensive, how, if you're going to have a booth there. Even a small booth is fairly expensive.
And, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But I remember Avid years ago, and I'm talking 10 years maybe, had a user group meeting, and it was just tens of thousands of people crammed into some, like the Palms, what was then the Palms, it wasn't the Palms back then, but you know, something like that, like an off the strip casino, and you just couldn't move, right? And it was just a huge piss up and nibbly thing. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, this isn't a user group, but I guess you've got that many users that it's really hard to have any kind of organized anything.
Yeah.
You've got to wonder.
The Autodesk one's pretty big now.
It's enormous.
And it's kind of like lost its effectiveness in some ways, I think, overall, too. I liked some of the earlier, smaller days when it was all about the artist.
And so then you start saying, well, to the equipment manufacturers, they're like, well, we're going to sort of, you know, pare back a bit. Plus, you know, their costs and having all their stuff there with expenses and stuff and booth building and all that kind of stuff. And some people said, oh, well, that's just a small part of NAB, right? And my answer to that is, well, yeah, it is a small part of NAB, except for if it's happening in our area, doesn't anyone think it's happening in other people's areas as well? And the second point I'd make is that I don't really go for the OB truck exhibition, you know what I mean?
No, kind of cool.
If the Alpitt tears back, well, yeah, I'm sure there's still quite a big proportion of people making cable ties, but I'm not going there for the cable tie right. guy. I'm going there for the...
There's no small circumstance either that the fact coincidence that the fact that we used to do those shows at NAB, right, those live training shows at NAB, and for the last couple of years hadn't done that. Well, I guess I've been involved with it a couple times, but I like
level.
That idea.
We used to do everything.
But I like that. Yeah, we used to run the event, right? I mean, but yeah. we certainly learned, and that's where I thought Apple's comment about reaching people online. I'm like, sure, that's a bit of a cop-out and a rationalization, but I agree with that. I mean, we know from our websites how many more people we're able to reach via the web than we would in person at NAB. And I'm sure that's
got
to be
like,
true.
We had like 200 people packed in. We'll sell out event, but it was still only 200 people, right?
Yeah.
And now we reach
tens of
thousands
people. Downloading the podcasts, you know.
Hundreds of thousands of people as members of PhD. I think you're right. Really? I'm retiring.
Yeah, but and then my thing, and I think your point about the software is a valid one as well. It's like with being able to download it online, being able to download demo versions, these road shows that happen, a lot of people, at least in the major cities, come into town to like take a look at that. That it effectively becomes, as Mike and I have found, it does become a good time to meet with people face to face. We're going to, you know, to meet with, say, postgrads, for instance, find out directly face to face from them what they like and what they don't like and stuff like that, to meet with manufacturers as well. You know, that
SIDGRAPH was better for me than NAB because it was more.
Oh, as a contact show to just talk to people and learn, I'm with you on SIDGRAPH. From NAB contact wise, meeting with people that were useful to meet, I still thought NAB was better, but if push came to shove, I'd drop NAB before SIGGRAPH.
Yeah, me too.
You know, just because in the end, it's about learning about the craft and the art and so forth, which is what SIGGRAPH was all about, from my standpoint. Anyway, interesting stuff. Interesting development, though. All I know is it'll be a lot quieter on the show floor.
We're going. So if you guys are going, we're going to be there. We're going to do something like bar camp again, aren't we?
Yep. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, we have to.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because that's going to be one of the main reasons for going. That was one of the highlights for me last year, honestly.
Tell people what we're talking about.
What?
Bar camp.
Oh, bar camp? Bar camp. Bar camp's an idea started and has now kind of gone downhill, I guess, in reputation as it's grown. But the idea is bar camp is a place where people can get together and talk about things. Okay. And it's the idea kind of sprung from this idea. You can go to a thing like NAB, meet up at a bar or restaurant and never talk or learn anything about it. It just becomes an idea to go out and have a beer. The idea behind bar camp is it's kind of almost forced interaction from people to discuss things. You know, before you could have a beer, we had to have someone last year. You'd have to say something cool that you saw at the show, for instance.
So what happened is we had a hotel suite and everyone came along. And the idea was that you would come along with one thing that you'd seen on the show floor that you could talk about, not stand up and do a PowerPoint presentation on, not, you know, give a lecture on, but just talk about, right? And so you'd research during the day. You'd say, well, this is a really cool little thing that I found, a widget in the back corner that no one's ever seen. And we broke, I think, into two groups. I was with one group, you were the other. Mm-hmm. Everyone just like swapped ideas. And then we did a podcast after that. And in that podcast after that, which was a, you know, classic FX Guide podcast, we'd be able to highlight all these really cool, amazing things that were beyond the press releases. You know, just obscure stuff that, I mean, some discussion like Red that wasn't obscure, but it was like, and of course, we provided all the beer.
But
which
and it's also not as formal that if you don't want to do that, if you'll, you know, like that you don't have something to add, it's cool, right? You know,
and you don't have to be on the podcast.
No, but the idea is it's just, it's a little better use of the time and gathering, you know. You can have fun and talk about stuff. I mean, we're all in this because we like doing what we're doing and we're interested about the industry, at least.
Yeah.
I'd hope so.
And it was fun doing a podcast with a live audience, right?
That was interesting. Yes, it was.
And we had one hot seat we kept on swapping people in and out of, which was kind of fun. Because we didn't think that we should edit. We should just keep rolling.
Yeah, we did. That worked out well. That was fun. Yeah, that was enjoyable. So it was a good time. But yeah, that becomes some of the highlights for me about NAB, that kind of stuff. So just like IBC as well.
I got a bolt. There's
okay.
Somebody here I have to see.
Well, welcome back.
Project. Thank you, sir.
Glad it went well. Great images. Look forward to seeing those next term, generally. Some this term, right? But a lot of them used in projects in the following term.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way that the
other stuff's been going on.
Plus kind of course is doing lots of Lexus compositing. We shoot one term and then we comp it the next, effectively.
Yes.
And you guys will be really happy when you discover what we're doing.
Yeah, it sounds... It's, yes, tease. All right, man. Well, thanks so much. Have a good week.
Of compositing.
And I got to go do some more posts in the forums. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.